Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room and for those that will be listening on other devices and later on recording. Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, December 16, 2023. This is our review of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary. This is our part 6 of our lesson 397. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to share our Tiny Tot theme song for our study. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little ones held by their parents or older sibling would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
God blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for the Sabbath. We protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, shout our labor in the Sabbath day, the Sabbath of the Lord. And please protect the Sabbath, which we're about to learn in Jesus' name. We pray, amen.
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 In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, little ones. This is the time that we're going to hear all the blessing the little one has been in their household, their mommies and their daddies, even any area of their life. We are going to pass the mic to them so they can share their experience.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommy's and daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma. And this particularly, if you noticed last week, we've been having a new theme to our opening song, a song that they don't know. So, sometimes when you think that they're not paying attention, they're very much so learning. And as you can see from last week, when they helped me to sing the opening song, that was something that they did on their own by listening and paying attention, to the words. They were able to learn, the song for our next lesson next section that we'll do. And that is a blessing because that goes to show that they are paying attention, even when we think that they're not. And that's what I'd like to share.
Praise the Lord. Is there any of our remnant family that would like to share the little blessings in their household? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue, dear ones. This is our story time, and our dear brother will be able to share the review section.
Sarisha, prepare to fill in. The Bible verse for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And in John 17, 20-23, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus wasn't just praying for his disciples. He was praying for those who, like us, would later hear the message, the gospel message. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. That's God's glory, unity. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Next slide, please. Continuing, and Jesus solemnly replied, And Jesus solemnly replied, Thou hast said, Matthew 26, 21, 2 and 5. Jesus had washed the feet of Judas. But this had not caused him to love his Savior more. He was angry that Christ should do a servant's work, but he was unwilling to do it. Now he knew that Christ would not be made king, and he was the more determined to betray him. Then he saw that when he saw that his purpose was known, even this did not cause him to fear. In anger, he quickly left the room and went away to carry out his wicked plan. And the going of Judas was a relief to all present. The Savior's face lighted, and as at this, the shadow was lifted from the disciples. Christ now talked for some time with his disciples. He was going to his Father's house, he said, to make a place ready for them, and he would come again and take them to himself. Next slide. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to be their teacher and comforter while he was gone. He told them to pray in his name, and their prayers would surely be answered. He then prayed for them, asking that they might be kept from evil, and might love one another as he loved them. Jesus prayed for us as well as for the first disciples. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me, John 17:20-23. And that's taken from the story of Jesus, page 99. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brothers. So next Sabbath, we will begin with a new chapter of our lesson entitled In Gethsemane, in a tiny lesson book, the story about Jesus, and that will take place December 23rd, 2023, by God's grace. And I will hand back our dear brother for the review questions.
All right, in review, how did Jesus feel after Jesus washed his feet?
He was angry that Christ should do his work.
A servant's work.
Yes, he thought maybe Jesus was going to be king and he wanted to be the vice president, let's say, or prime minister. And when he saw Jesus washing the disciples' feet, he said, he's not going to be king for crying out loud. I'm going to make some money. And so away he went to betray him. What did Judas do after he left the room angry?
He went away to carry out his wicked plan.
And his wicked plan was to make some money and betray Jesus. Oh, he's going to regret that in the resurrection. What did Jesus promise the other disciples?
Yes, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to be their teacher and comforter while he was gone.
That's right. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to do for them what he was doing in person. But in person, he could only do it for one person at a time. But the Holy Spirit has the ability to be everywhere at once. Now, we don't understand that, but that's what his office is. And he can speak to you and to your conscience at the same time he's speaking to the conscience of somebody on the other side of the world. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. It's time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. This is the review, part 51 of our water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother will be the one to review.
So, blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning water. The water of life review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 2, King James Version, Elings. In verses 1 to 4 says, and again he entered to Capernaum after some days, and it was noticed that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. He preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bring one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Research through a roof. The palsied man was entirely helpless, and seeing no prospect of aid from any quarter, he sunk into despair. Then he heard of the wonderful works of Jesus. He was told that others as sinful and helpless as he had been healed. Even lepers had been cleansed. And the friends who reported these things encouraged him to believe that he too might be cured if he could be carried to Jesus. But his hope fell when he remembered how the disease had been brought upon him. He feared that the pure physician would not tolerate him in his presence. yet was not physical restoration he desired so much as relief from the burden of sin. If he could see Jesus and receive the assurance of forgiveness and peace with heaven, he would be content to live or die according to God's will. The cry of the dying man was, "Oh, that I might come into his presence." There is no time to lose. Already his wasted flesh was showing signs of decay. He sought his friends to carry him on his bed to Jesus, and this they gladly undertook to do. But so dense was the crowd that had assembled in and about the house where the Savior was, that it was impossible for the sick man and his friends to reach him, or even to come within hearing of his voice. Jesus was teaching the house of Peter, according to their custom. His disciples sat close about him, and they were Pharisees and doctors of the law, sitting by, which was come out of every town, Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem. These had come as spies, seeking an accusation against Jesus. Outside these officials thronged the promiscuous multitude, the eager, the reverent, the curious, and the unbelieving. Different nationalities in all grades of society were represented, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The spirit of life brooded over the assembly, but Pharisees and doctors did not discern its presence. They felt no sense of need, and the healing was not for them. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Luke 1:53. Again and again, the bearers of the paralytic tried to push their way through the crowd, but in vain. The sick man looked about him in unutterable anguish. When the longed-for help was so near, how could he relinquish hope? At suggestion, his friends bore him to the top of the house, and breaking up the roof, let him down at the feet of Jesus. The discourse was interrupted. The desire of ages, page 267-268. The Lord says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." Mark 2:5. Water helps the sick. In regaining health, it is important that the patient have a clean room and is kept clean. Use a water treatment to help him feel more comfortable. Drink plenty of good pure water. The Lord says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Chapter 25, Teaching from Nature. While the Bible should hold the first place in the education of children and youth, the book of nature is next in importance. God's created works testify to his love and power. He has called the world into being with all that it contains. God is a lover of the beautiful, and in the world which he has fitted up for us, he has not only given us everything necessary for our comfort, but he has filled the heavens and the earth with beauty. We see his love and care on the rich fields of autumn, and his smile in the glad sunshine. His hand has made the castle like rocks and the tower mountains. The lofty trees grow at his command. He has spread earth's green velvet carpet and dyed it with shrubs and flowers. Parents, teachers, and students, page 285, paragraph 1. Nature is not marred and defiled by sin, but God's object lessons are not obliterated. Even now, rightly studied and interrupted, she speaks her creator. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 186, paragraph 1. This picture is a picture of another sea anemone. The sea anemone looks like a flower, but it's actually a carnivorous animal that eats small fish and shrimp. And next to the picture is a diagram of the parts of the anemone. There's the oral disc, the mouth, tentacles, sustain nematosis, sphincter's muscle, ostium, where water enters the body, the pharynx, collar, complete mesentery, retractor muscle, gastrovascular cavity, incomplete mesentery, and the basal or petal disc. And below says the wartlet anemone has wart-like knobs on its body, and that is how it got its name. These apparent defects remind us of the defect of selfishness and lying, which were defects of character in Ananias and Sapphira. It says here, Jesus was called the Star of Jacob. And over here is our diagrams of a starfish. On the left, we're seeing four parts of the starfish body. The two feet, the ambulacral groove, the mouth, and the spines. And on the right one is a picture of a common sea star, points all parts of what they do. Okay. This part says sharp bony spines and grasping pincers cover the body. The tiny hollow finger-like gills on the body. The eye spot at the tip of each arm. The arm or ray covered with tough skin, and the body a flat disc at the center. The mouth both with a stomach that is pushed out to get food. The ambulacral groove with 2 to 4 rows of 2 feet. The suckers at tip of 2 feet. And down below is the sea star larva. Next is this picture of a moray eel. It says here, top eels are fish. The common eel changes several times during his life. Paul had changes in his life. Above this diagram of the inside of an eel's body says, when jaws open wide and there is more inside, that's a moray. In the picture on the right says, is below the picture of the moray eel. Usually fish will never attack a human being. A few that will are certain sharks, hammerhead and great white sharks, barracudas, and moray eels may attack if provoked. Some fish that could harm humans if they come in contact are stingrays and stonefish because of their poisonous spines. And below these pictures of these mountains, and says, as the earth came forth from the hand of its maker, it was exceedingly beautiful. Its surface was diversified with mountains, hills, and plains, interspersed with noble rivers and lovely lakes. But the hills and mountains were now abrupt and rugged, abounding in terrific steeps and frightened chasms as they now do. The sharp, ragged edges of earth's rocky framework were buried beneath the fruitful soil, which everywhere produced a luxuriant growth of verdure. There were no loathsome swamps or barren deserts. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 444, paragraph 2. Continuing our reference reading for the wire topic of our Tide Talks lesson review, chapter 27, Thou Canst Make Me Clean, part 2. In the healing of the paralytic at Capernaum, Christ again taught the same truth. It was to manifest his power to forgive sins that the miracle was performed. And the healing of the paralytic also illustrates other precious truths. It is full of hope and encouragement, and from its connection with the Cavalier Pharisees, it has a lesson of warning as well. Did our outrageous page turn to 67, paragraph 1. Like the leper, this paralytic had lost all hope of recovery. His disease was the result of a life of sin, and his sufferings were embittered by remorse. He had long before appealed to the Pharisees and doctors, hoping for relief from mental suffering and physical pain. But they coldly pronounced him incurable and abandoned him to the wrath of God. The Pharisees regard affliction as an evidence of divine displeasure, and they held themselves aloof from the sick and the needy. Yet often these very ones who exalted themselves as holy were more guilty than the sufferers they condemned. Desire of Ages, page 267, paragraph 2. The palsied man was entirely helpless, and seen no prospect of aid from any quarter, he had sunk into despair. Then he heard of the wonderful work of Jesus. He was told that others are sinful, helpless, as he had been healed. Even lepers had been cleansed. And the friends who reported these things encouraged him to believe that he too might be cured if he could be carried to Jesus. But his hope fell when he remembered how the disease had been wrought upon him. He feared that the pure physician would not tolerate him in his presence. Zarbe's page 267, paragraph 3. The palsy man was entirely helpless, and seeing no prospect of aid from any quarter, he had sunk into despair. Then he heard the wonderful works of Jesus. He was told that others, as sinful and helpless as he, had been healed. Even lepers had been cleansed, and the friends who reported these things encouraged him to believe that he too might be cured if he could be carried to Jesus. But his hope fell when he remembered how the disease had been wrought upon him. It was not physical restoration he desired so much as relief from the burden of sin. If he could see Jesus and receive the assurance of forgiveness and peace with heaven, he would be content to live or die, according to God's will. The cry of the dying man was, "Oh, that I might come into his presence." There was no time to lose. Already his wasted flesh was showing signs of decay. He besought his friends to carry him on his bed to Jesus, and this they gladly undertook to do. So dense was the crowd that he had assembled in and about the house where the Savior was, that it was impossible for the sick man and his friends to reach him, or even to come within hearing of his voice. Desire of Ages, page 267, paragraph 4. Jesus was teaching in the house of Peter, according to their custom. His disciples sat close about him, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. These had come as spies, seeking an accusation against Jesus. Outside these official throngs, the promiscuous multitude, the eager, the reverent, the curious, and the unbelieving. Different nationalities and all grades of society were represented, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The spirit of life brooded over the assembly, but Pharisees and doctors did not discern its presence. They felt no sense of need, and the healing was not for them. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. Luke 1:53, Desire of Ages, page 267, paragraph 5. And here are our three bonus questions in the review. You can find answer in Bible text. 1. What town and home did Jesus again enter? Find the answer in Mark 2:1 and Desire of Ages, page 267. 2. Who came down to be forgiven of his sins and healed? Mark 2:3. And 3. What happened? You find the answer in Mark 2:4. I'll give the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Covered with His Life. You can also find it in the hymnal book. in number 412. If you would like to be able to share the hymn with us, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinlessly. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life whiter than snow. Covered with his life whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sins and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Deeper the wounds transgressions have made, redder the stains my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee, safe from the law that now judges me. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow. Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe white as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear thy pure life alone. Covered with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow. Reconciled by his death for my sins, Jesus by his life, pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sins and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or guests, would like to open our review section of our family with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless you, everybody. Thank you, God, for this up this morning. Please protect us. Use of me in the 7 days that keep it holy, 6 days shall thy labor, and Lord our God, Lord, you say, pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio, entitled Behold He Cometh, or some memory verse song. It's taken from Revelation 1. Verses 5 through 6, also chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, margin. Mm-hmm. We learn and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear your question and the answer to those questions or anything you would like to share. We are going to take a few minutes to read part one of our lesson entitled Calvary. This is our part six from the Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, dear one, may you unmute your mic.
No. The Desire of Ages, page 750. Continuing, quickly the answers came. Soft and melodious, the tone, full of love, compassion, and power, the words, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Desire of Ages, page 750, paragraph 2. The Desire of Ages, paragraph. Page 754.
Long hours
of
agony.
Reviling. And
mockery
have
fallen upon
the ears of Jesus. As he has hangs upon the cross, there floats up to him.
Still
the
sound
of
Jeers
and cries.
Curses.
With
longing
heart he has
listened
for
some
expression
of
faith.
Faith. Born.
From.
From. His.
Disciples.
Disciples. He has.
Heard.
Heard.
Only.
Only. The.
Mournful.
Mournful.
Words.
Words. He.
We.
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 Trusted.
Trusted.
That.
That. It. He'd.
Had.
Had.
Been.
Been. He.
Which.
Which.
Should.
Should. Have.
Redeemed.
Redeemed.
Israel.
Israel. How.
Grateful.
Grateful. In.
Then.
Then. To. The.
Savior.
Savior. Has. Was. Mm-hmm. The.
Utterance.
Utterance. Of.
Faith.
Faith. And loved. Form.
From.
From. The.
Dying.
Dying.
Thief.
Thief.
Good job, Emma. Next slide, please. Amen. Good job. How grateful then, so the Savior was the utterance of faith and love from the dying thief. While the leading Jews deny him, and even the disciples doubt his divinity, the poor thief upon the brink of eternity calls Jesus Lord. Many were ready to call him Lord when he wrought miracles and after he had risen from the grave, but none acknowledged him as he hung dying upon the cross, save the penitent thief who was saved at the 11th hour. The Desire of Ages, page 750, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 751. The bystanders caught the words as the thief called Jesus Lord. The tone of the repentant man arrested their attention. Those who at the foot of the cross had been quarreling over Christ's garments and casting lots upon his vesture stopped to listen. Their angry tones were hushed. With bated breath, they looked upon Christ and waited for the response from those dying lips. Desire of Ages, page 751. Paragraph 1.
As he
spoke
the words
of
promise
the dark
cloud
that
seemed
To enshroud
the cross
was pierced
by a
bright
and
living
light.
To
good
penitent
thief
came the
perfect
peace are
of acceptance
of
acceptance
mm-hmm.
with
God.
Mm-hmm. God. Christ.
Christ.
What letter is that?
N.
Good. N. His.
His.
Humiliation.
Humiliation.
Was. Glorified.
Glorified.
What is this?
He who and
all
other
what's this?
That
no, what is this?
Then.
What is this right here?
Eyes.
Good. Eyes. Appeared.
Appeared. Two.
Mm-hmm. What letter is that?
B.
Good. Conquered.
Conquered.
Was.
Was.
A.
A.
Conqueror.
Conqueror.
He.
He.
Was.
Was.
Acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledged.
Acknowledged.
As.
The
sin barrier.
Men
may exercise
power over his
human body. They may
pierce the
Holy
temples
with
the
crown
to
thorns. Good.
Next slide, please. Continuing. Come on, Jeremiah.
I see in a way, Kevin.
Come on, Jeremiah. My eyes.
Daddy, what is
it? No, be quiet, Chrissy. They?
They.
Oh, you know the words.
They?
Mm-hmm.
May.
Strip.
Strip. Form.
From. Good.
From.
He.
Him. Him.
That's him because it has an M at the end. Good. This has an S at the end. His. Raiment.
And.
Crow.
Over. Is.
Mm-hmm. Division.
Division. Blue.
No.
What?
Mm-hmm.
They.
Good. I don't know what's on my eye. Cannot.
Rob. Him.
Good.
Of. His.
Power.
To.
Forgive. And.
Sin.
Mm-hmm.
And
dying,
he
bears
testimony to his
own
divinity and to the
glory
of the
father,
his ears is not
heavy
that is
it T? It is it T?
It.
Same words up here. Cannot.
Hear.
What good? Neither.
Either. Is. Arm.
Mm-hmm. Shorten.
That is.
It's a T.
That.
It's a T, not an S. What does T say? Okay, so what's the word now?
It.
Good.
Cannot.
Save. Desire of Ages, 751, paragraph 2. Good job.
On the side it says John chapter 10 verse 17. Therefore doeth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again.
Desire of Ages, page 751. I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Christ did not promise that the thief should be with him in paradise that day. He himself did not go that day to paradise. He slept in the tomb, and on the morning of the resurrection he said, I am not yet ascended to my Father. John chapter 20, verse 17. Next. Continuing. It is his royal right to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him. But on the day of the crucifixion, the day of apparent defeat and darkness, the promise was given. Today, while dying upon the cross as a malefactor, Christ assures the poor sinner, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Desire of Ages, page 751, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 751, continuing. The thieves crucified with Jesus were placed on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. This was done by the direction of the priests and rulers. Christ's position between the thieves was to indicate that he was the greatest criminal of the three. Thus was fulfilled the scripture. He was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Next slide, please. Continuing. But the full meaning of the act the priests did not see, as Jesus, crucified with the thieves, was placed in the midst. So his cross was placed in the midst of a world lying in sin. And the words of pardon spoken to the penitent thief kindled a light that will shine to the earth remotest bounds. Desire of Ages, 751, paragraph 4.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well done, all little ones and parents as well. Welcome to all the precious family. Let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, memory verse as well. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, what have we learned and ways we have grown? We are going to display the questions that we had reserved from the first part of our section in our study. I will repeat it so like that those that are listening and are able to share their answer, you may be able to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters in this part 6? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place them in the room, dear ones. If not, you can use your mic. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
The thief and Jesus.
The answer to number two was the man of the infrastructure story. Jesus replied to the penitent thief.
Number three, where did the story take place? We saw that this section of the story took place in Golgotha, which is also, we know, is Calvary.
Anybody?
The section number four of the story. When did the story begin? The section of the story began when we saw that Jesus was taken from Pilate's judgment hall and was taken on that journey, on that walk to bear his cross to get to Golgotha.
Do you want to share yours? Number four?
It began with, this section began with Christ saying, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
You want to share your fifth?
My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? Christ's words meant the robber will gain his reward for his remorse, since he admitted that he and his fellow thief deserved to die because of the things they did, but knowing Jesus did nothing wrong. Hearing those words meant everything in the Christ, and because that's what humility and even guilt come together when they confess their wrongs.
For number six, what did you learn from this lesson? And Tia Rose, if you don't mind going to, I think, slide 35, I think it is.
Or this one?
Okay. Yes, this one, 34. Thank you. So it was impressed upon my heart, and this is what I learned from this section of the lesson. How people have a misunderstanding that when you die, you immediately go to heaven. And see, it's proven here just in this very conversation with Christ that, our bodies are resting in the grave. And that we do not, immediately go, because here it says, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And, it says he himself did not go that day to the paradise, which is a big misnomer to a lot of people, a big misunderstanding to a lot of people. He slept in the tomb, and on the morning of the resurrection, he said, I am not yet ascended. But this is what I was impressed upon my heart and what I wanted to share that I have learned from this section, or solidified from this section. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. One thing that stands out in my mind is that even though Christ was suffering severe pain, was also dealing with jeers and scorning from the bystanders that was there, yet he took time to listen to and to comfort the thief that was recognizing him as his Lord and Messiah. And so that comes home to me that even though I may be going through a lot of turmoil, I may be going through a lot of events that are beyond my control, instead of focusing upon myself and the situations I find myself in, I need to make sure I'm paying attention to those around me and am able to help comfort them in some way.
Amen. Would anyone else would like to share what I have been impressed and I was focusing on is that when you believe that there is no one that is aware, God is there in every affliction that we do have. And maybe in a very small way, he will always find an instrument or a person to give you a word of season and out of season. He is always near to those that are broken in heart and contrite in spirit. Anybody else would like to be able to share their ones? Maybe I'm okay.
Taking back that CC question, it was so profound that even he didn't only tell him that he will be in paradise, that in that day he didn't go to paradise and he would sleep in his tomb, but also it gives them a reminder, those that sleep, and we have to know that it will be part of the first resurrection or the second resurrection, and he resurrected the day of, you know, the first day of the week. But those that are sleeping, we know that they are sleeping and they will be waking up in the first resurrection or the second resurrection. That was powerful.
That was our dear sister Gina. And there is something else that I have noticed. I try to keep my thought, but then when somebody speaks, I kind of forget it. But I'll come back to it. Is there anyone else that would like to share?
Yes, I would like to touch base again a little bit with about your sister, that the Lord really doesn't know what we're going through, and he really makes every effort to help us to understand we are not alone, and he will move upon his people in one way or another to help strengthen some of the ones that may be going through some difficult situations. And to me, that is like phenomenal type of I can see that very clearly, and I believe all of us have been in different situations in God's love step in and his support step in to give us the aid that we needed that time than with any. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. And it came back to me now. Looking at the two teeth and the circumstances has been left open for us to see. When the teeth that was on the other side, he was mourning upon his circumstances, and he judged himself in such a manner that he closed the door for the Holy Spirit to reach him, just like the other thief. He just felt that there was no way that he can be able to surpass what it is that he did. And by pondering upon that, instead of considering what was really happening with the one that was innocent, he took that moment, and instead of pleading, he decided to make a mockery of our Savior while saying that if he was God, he can be able to not only release himself, but release them as well. So the other thief, if you notice, he already knew what it is that he did. He didn't make an excuse for what it is that he was being crucified. At that very moment, he looked towards him, and by having that opportunity to look upon the one that was not worthy of that death, he allowed the Spirit to come near, and the Spirit was able to even help him to bring about all the things that he have heard and also experienced that gave him the hope and also the faith to turn and to plead with those that was around, that they had even, they even had the same experience they did, but they didn't really acknowledge him as he did. And it's amazing that just at that very moment, type and anti-type, the sins were supposed to be confessed to the Lamb, and then they were supposed to slay him. But now, being that the anti-type was on the cross, here the sinner was able to confess his sin, and then the Lamb was able to be slain. To just see how type and anti-type was met at the very moment of fulfilling the scripture. Is there anybody else that would like to share? Okay.
I just wanted to just quickly add something that was standing out to me as well, piggybacking off of what was said here by everyone. But sometimes in our mind, in our thoughts, we have doubts, and we think that we cannot, under any circumstances, be saved. But we see here brought out also with the penitent thief that it was at the 11th hour. And that was so very important to me to see also, that it was at the very end to the time that he was about to die that the Lord was able to save him. And that's only because he opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come in. That is very important for us to be able to hold on to as well, that we, no matter how grand the circumstances seem to us, there's one who sees the beginning from the end. And that it is so very important to always hold on to that very glimmer of hope that he is able to save us to the uttermost, even in the 11th hour. So I just wanted to share that as it was impressed upon my heart. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the dear brethren that are coming in. We are going to share thoughts, poem, and also special music. The thoughts had been taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled The Review of Errol, November 22nd, 1898, paragraph 8 through 10. The title for that reading is The Day of Reckoning. Our opening scripture was taken from Revelation 15:3, King James, and also you will find it in Jesus' Name Above All Name. Page 351, paragraph 1, and it reads, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." If any one of the dear brethren would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic and do so. Dear ones.
The Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. In his superadded humanity consists the reason of Christ's appointment. God has committed all judgment unto the Son, but without controversy he is God manifest in the flesh. Revere and Herald, November 22nd, 1898, paragraph 8.
God designed that the prince of sufferers in humanity to be judge of the whole world. He who came from the heavenly courts to save man from eternal death, he whom men despised rejected, and upon whom they heaped all the contempt of which human beings, inspired by Satan, are capable. He who submitted to be arraigned before an earthly tribunal and who suffered the ignominious death of the cross. Continue. He alone is to pronounce the sentence of reward or of punishment. He who submitted to the suffering and humiliation of the cross here in the counsel of God is to have the fullest compensation and ascend the throne acknowledged by all the heavenly universe as the King of Saints. He has undertaken the work of salvation and shown before unfallen worlds and the heavenly family that the work he has begun, he is able to complete. It is Christ who gives men the grace of repentance. His merits are accepted by the Father in behalf of every soul that will help to compose the family of God. In that day of final punishment and reward, both saints and sinners will recognize in him who was crucified, the judge of all living. Every crown that is given to the saints of the Most High will be bestowed by hands of Christ. Those hands that cruel priests and rulers condemned to be nailed to the cross.
You can finish the paragraph if you want, dear brother.
Okay. He alone can give to men the consolation of eternal life. Review and Herald, November 22nd, 1898, paragraph 10.
A sign in the heavens was given to the wise men of the east who were searching for Christ. To shepherds who were keeping their flocks on the hills of Bethlehem, the angel host appeared. All heaven recognized the advent of Christ. Unseen angels were present in the judgment hall. When Christ was scourged with the cruel thongs, they could scarcely endure the sight. Angels of heaven were present at his death. The darkness that covered the earth as crucifixion concealed the company of heaven's powerful agencies, but the earth quaked beneath the tread of the heavenly throng. The rocks were rent. For 3 hours, the earth was shrouded in impenetrable darkness. Nature, with her dark robe, hid the sufferings of the Son of God. The veil held November 22nd, 1898, paragraph 11. A further reflection, what will I say to Jesus when he gives me my crown? Kings of Saints, November 30th, Jesus' name above all names, page 351, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our poem? Praise the Lord. Our poem is entitled A Child's Humble Confession and Prayer. This is taken from Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 3, Lesson 2, page 38, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of the Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Lesson 1. I pray. I think I heard a voice come in.
You can go ahead.
No, you first.
Number 1. A sinner, Lord, behold, I stand. In thought and word and deed, but Jesus sits at thy right hand for such an intercede, to intercede.
From early infancy, I know, a rebel I have been, and daily as I older grow, I fear and grow in sin.
I'm sorry, dear sister. I think, are you going to do number three? Because we can hear someone trying to speak, but I don't believe we can hear them clearly. Can you check your mic, dear ones?
But God can change this evil heart and give me a holy mind and his own heavenly grace impart, which those who seek shall find.
Number four, the heaven can reach the softest word, a child repenting prayer, for tears are seen and sights are heard and thoughts regarded there.
Number five, then let me all my sins confess and pardoning grace implore, that I may love my follies less and love my Savior more.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The special music is entitled The Song of Moses and the Lamb. It's taken from Revelation 15:3-4, King James Version margin. Great and marvelous all thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, the King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, thou holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, the King of saints.
Your mic is off, dear sister.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much, dear Elder Rob. We will have a time, maybe after our services, to be able to share our testimony. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 7, forgive me with the typo, of our lesson entitled Calvary in our study book. If anyone would like to have closing prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads and our knees.
Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us so far through your lesson. We continue to be appreciative as we look back to your work, to your road to Calvary and your crucifixion, Father. May you continue to help us to, or give us the understanding of every lesson that is coming, emanating from the cross. Be with us now as we continue to go to the next section of our studies. Be with the speaker. Father Jesus, we pray for your help continuously to learn more about you throughout this day. Bless the children and their parents. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to begin with our lesson 398, chapter 78, Calvary. This is part 7. That will take place December the 23rd, 2023. Well, dear ones, a very beautiful and interested creature that our dear sister Joan had shared with us. I would like to be able to just kind of ask anyone if you can find exactly which one this was. I kind of brought something very close. I believe it might be a purple tube anemone. I don't know how to say that word, but it's anemone. Am I right? Anemone from our dear sister Joan. May you all continue to have a wonderful nature walk and experience, dear one. And may you share your pictures so you can be able to do a little bit of research and learn more. It is just so amazing to know that as you see the scene from the top, it seems like nothing is really happening, but there are so many wonders beneath. I hope that you can be able to continue learning about these beautiful creatures that are below the sea. It's my prayer. May you have a wonderful and blessed Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.
And may you also, my dear daughter.
Sabbath blessing, my father. And Sabbath blessing everyone that had came in as well.